This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. October 1st, 2020 marks a strict deadline. After that date, Alaskans will need federally acceptable identification to board commercial airlines, access military bases, and enter federal facilities. These IDs can include passports, federally recognized tribal IDs, and real ID-compliant licenses or identifications. But getting a real ID isn't easy for people living in rural communities. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports on one rural city that's doing everything it can to get real IDs for its residents.
Tuksuk Bay sits on the coast of the Bering Sea. The nearest division of Motor Vehicles Office is in Bethel, a $190 plane ticket away. In January, Susie Carl is scheduled to bring her foster son to Bethel for a medical appointment, and she's hoping she can fit in a trip to the DMV while she's in town.
It's hard because you have to rush to your appointment and go back up to the airport and wait.
There'll be a slim window for Carl to make it to the DMV counter, a window that a number of factors could close, like if the medical appointment is running late, if there's a long line at the DMV, or if the one person who works the Bethel DMV doesn't show up to the office that day. On top of that, the cost of cab fare to get around town adds up. Because of this expense and inconvenience, the Tuksuk Bay City Council voted to bring the DMV to its community. Mary Kalukiak is a Tuksuk Bay City Council member.
We're trying to get them ready so they'll be able to use their ID to make sure they'll be able to get on the plane, probably to go hospital or for business.
Have you gotten your real ID yet?
I haven't. I don't have my birth certificate.
That's another hurdle. Getting a real ID can require up to 6 different documents. If you're missing one, then it's better luck next time. If you live in a village, that next time might be a while away. The Tuksuk Bay City Council is taking a lot on. About 650 people live in the community, and anyone of any age can get a real ID. The city is making a list of every resident who wants to get one, and of those people, who needs a birth certificate and a Social Security card. The city will also pay the $30 fee for a birth certificate application, which can take up to a month to process. And the city will help people file the paperwork for a Social Security card. All other documents, like a marriage certificate to prove a name change, residents will need to get on their own. Once all that's done, the city will schedule a time for the DMV to travel to Tuksuk Bay. The city will be required to pay the DMV workers' airfare, lodging, per diem, and miscellaneous travel expenses like airport parking. Also, the city will need to provide the DMV workers a good internet connection and a well-lit area to take photos. Acting DMV Director Jenna Wamsgams explains what this process will look like on the ground.
They would just meet with residents, take a look at their documents, process their applications, take their photos. We have a way to retain the documents for our system. And then we would take that information back, process the applications, and then the residents should expect to receive their real IDs in the mail a few weeks later.
She estimates one worker can process 50 real ID applications a day in a community. The DMV is asking for donations and seeking financial partnerships with Native corporations and Native nonprofits to travel to as many rural communities as possible to provide these services. When asked if it's fair to ask rural entities to subsidize a state service that's readily offered in urban areas, Wamscam says that's a state policy issue.
The DMV is trying to do the best job that they can to make it to all the communities that they can. And we do have hub locations throughout Alaska, but it's just not feasible for us to have offices in every single location.
Tuksuk Bay is one community that's stepping up to help. In Tuksuk Bay, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And finally, 2 weekends ago, Gladys Jung Elementary School hosted the annual first LEGO League Southwest qualifier. schools from the Lower Kuskokwim School District competed in Lego programming and problem solving with three teams advancing to state. For one school, it was their first appearance because this is the first year the school has existed. Inside the Gladys Jung Elementary School gym, a group of students huddle around a Lego robot that they've programmed to complete a set of missions. On the other side of the table, there's another team with their own robot, and they're about to face off.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, Lego!
The robots move Lego buildings around the board to complete missions, sometimes exactly as they were programmed to, sometimes less exactly.
Are they going to hit the swing? Oh, so close to hitting the swing.
Regardless of how they're doing on the scoreboard, for one of the teams competing, today is a historic moment.
This is the first team ever at a Lego competition from McCarvin. Yeah, that's right.
Naomi Olson is a teacher at Muksevik, which is the new village site that's being built to replace Newtok. Naomi and the first residents moved over to Muksevik in October. And now Naomi's the coach of the Muksevik Napaktisdit.
The Yupik word for construction workers. That's our team name.
Her team was wearing the same construction vest they wear to school every day. They're required to wear them from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. because their village is still in the process of being built.
Our cheer is the beep noises that the machinery does. Beep, beep, beep.
The Napaktisdit team says this is the first time that they left Muksevik since they moved from Newtok in October. Daisy Carl says she likes her new home.
Less muddy and running water.
While the Muksevik Napaktisdit did not advance to the state competition, they did win the judges' award for perseverance. Daisy says she's proud of her team's effort.
We tried our best.
Colin Stewart, one of the event's organizers, says perseverance is just one of the things the robotics event teaches kids.
They're doing research, they're interviewing people, they're having to work with adults, they're being creative and coming up with, they almost get all aspects of school within just this activity.
Colin also says the Lego programming competition is just one part of the event. The other part is to create an innovative design to solve a real-world problem. One team designed magnetic pilings to level an eroding home. Another designed a road freezing solution to prevent frost heaves in the road. Ethan Wheeler, part of the Bethel Brick Builders, wanted to fix a problem closer to his everyday.
It's an adjustable swing.
Ethan says non-adjustable swings are a problem for tall kids because their feet drag on the ground. He says they would sometimes throw the swing over the top of the swing set to shorten the chains. But that would just cause more problems.
The chains get tangled and knotted, so when you swing, your hands might get pinched.
So Ethan and his team invented a solution that uses a carabiner to adjust the height of the swing. His team, the Bethel Brick Builders, will be one of three teams to take their innovative projects to the first LEGO League state championship. The other teams advancing are the Ewoks and the Breakfast Club. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kemp. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.